Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're in Chapter 20 of Joshua. And let's see, where are we now? In verse 6, he shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth a person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. So he had to stand before the congregation. He had to plead his case, and if they said it was an accident, well, then it would be an accident, and he would be able to stay at the city of refuge, and if not, I guess they would turn him out to the Avenger, and the Avenger could do what he wants with him. And, of course, that would be a type of a jury trial, being judged by your peers if it's to be heard by the congregation. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded us by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the children of Aaron, the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah and out of the tribe of Simeon and out of the tribe of Benjamin 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. And the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh and Bashan, 13 cities. And the children of Merari, by their families, had out of the tribe of Reuben, out of the tribe of Gad, out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And they gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah, and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities which are mentioned by name, which the children of Aaron, being the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had for theirs was the first lot, and gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is Hebron, and the hill country of Judah, or in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city and the villages thereof gave they to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. Thus they gave to the children of Aaron the priest Hebron with her suburbs, a city of refuge for the slayer, and Libna with her suburbs, and Jatir with her suburbs, and Eshtemoa with her suburbs, and Holon with her suburbs, and Deber with her suburbs, and Ain with her suburbs, and Jutta with her suburbs, Beth Shemesh with her suburbs, 9 cities out of those two tribes, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with her suburbs, Geba with her suburbs, Anathoth with her suburbs, and Almon with her suburbs, four cities. All of the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites, which remained of the children of Kohath, even they had cities in their lot out of the tribe of Ephraim. For they gave them Shechem with her suburbs and Mount Ephraim, a city of refuge for the slayer, and Gezer with her suburbs, and Kibzaim with her suburbs, and Beth Horon with her suburbs, four cities, and out of the tribe of Dan, El Tekeh with her suburbs, and Gibbethon with her suburbs, Ai Jalon with her suburbs, Gath Rimmon with her suburbs, four cities, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Taanach with her suburbs, and Gath Rimmon with her suburbs, two cities. All the cities were 10 with their suburbs for the families of the children of Kohath that remain. And unto the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, out of the half tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan and Bashan with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Beish-Terah with her suburbs, two cities, and out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishon with her suburbs, Daberath with her suburbs, Jarmuth with her suburbs, En-Ganim with her suburbs, four cities, out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with her suburbs, Abdon with her suburbs, Helkath with her suburbs, and Rehob with her suburbs, four cities, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with her suburbs, a city of refuge for the slayer, and Harmoth Dor with her suburbs, and Kartan with her suburbs, three cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And unto the families of the children of Merari, the rest of the Levites, out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with her suburbs, and Karta with her suburbs, Dimna with her suburbs, Nahalal with her suburbs, four cities, and out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with her suburbs, Jahazah with her suburbs, Kedemoth with her suburbs, and Mephaoth with her suburbs, four cities, and out of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with her suburbs, a city of refuge for the slayer, and Mahanaim with her suburbs, Heshbon with her suburbs, Jazer with her suburbs, four cities in all. So all the cities of the children of Merari, by their families, which were remaining of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all these cities. So basically what we have here is the Levites, the priests and their families would get the cities and the suburbs around the cities for their cattle and their sheep and to grow their gardens and so forth, but they would get the cities. And of course, all of the rest of the children of Israel got the bulk of the land, and they would divide it up among their tribes and their families accordingly. And being used to being sojourners with herds and flocks out in the wilderness, even now they were going to have herds and flocks, but in a beautiful land that was rich and could grow a lot of food and take care of a lot of flocks, and a place where they could put down the foot and the sole of their foot and stay put. And it can be a very wonderful and comfortable thing to have a place in the land where you can be productive, have animals, and grow a little bit of food. And I suggest if anyone is able to do that, that they should do it, or at least make it a goal in their life to find a place where they can start to implement the law of God in their family government, such as it is, and at least get something started that you can pass on as an inheritance, and teach these laws of inheritance to your children and your children's children, that perhaps they may not be seduced by the ways of the world and the ways of the nation around us, and just go on and waste the inheritance of their parents, and not see that something is built up for the generation to follow, and built up in righteousness more than anything. If we go to unrighteousness, well, then it is just that we lose our inheritance in the land. It is only fitting, because when you go to unrighteousness, you start to trust in the hand of man, and of course in the laws of man, and the laws of the inheritance of man. And some people may be thinking, well, how does that work? Because aren't I subject to the laws of the land? Well, the truth is, we're going to take a little aside here just to touch on inheritance a little bit and how you operate today in inheritance according to the scripture. Number one, edict of the land, the number one lamb-like feature of this land that we live in, of this beast government, when it was established several hundred years ago, was what we call now the Bill of Rights and, of course, the First Amendment. And you notice we're here on First Amendment Radio. And what is the First Amendment about? Well, for the world and for the idolaters out there, the First Amendment is their right to be perverse and to engage in pornographic speech and communications. And because they don't really give a darn about religion, unless they're Satanists. But no, it was to protect our liberty. It's free speech and freedom of religion, or freedom from state-sponsored religion. That's what the liberty is. It's the separation of church and state. It's saying the state cannot dictate my beliefs, my sincerely held beliefs. Now, if my religion says that I can murder my neighbor, well, then the state's going to step in, because we have murder statutes and so and such as that. But if we haven't broken a law, the state has no business in our life, as they are treading over the line continuously today, and prosecuting and persecuting people who have broken no law, who have not harmed their neighbor in any way. But how do we work inheritance today, before I get too far? Well, one, we stand on a religious liberty. And two, we have some understanding that if we hold our property in the way that the world holds property, in the way that they dictate that we hold property, in the usual way, because they don't really dictate. Most people just ignorantly go and buy a piece of property, and they let the professionals take care of it. And of course, the professionals put you in a vulnerable place, because they're the ones who develop the rules for their own cause, for their own good, for their own benefit. Because they know that when you die, the lawyers and the lawmakers who have developed the laws for holding property in this land, they know that when you die, they get to grab your property. And that's how they set it up. These lawyers want a part of it. So your property will go into probate if you hold it in your own name. But how about if you hold it in your family name? How about that? How about if you hold property in your family name? You can hold property in your family name. That's right. And you can hold it for your family. And it's called trust. Because basically, that's what it was. When the father had a piece of land in Israel, this is the way it should have worked, he would name as his heir the one that he could trust to carry on the heritage, basically, to carry on the battle for righteousness, to carry on and use that property and the strength that would come out of it over generation after generation for righteousness. and he would not give it to the one that he could not trust. Because if a man thought, well, that son's just going to spoil it, just going to squander it, so I'm not going to give him the inheritance. I'm going to give it to the one that I know that will manage it for the benefit of the family, that will take care of the widows and orphans in our family. See, God's family government law had provision inside the family for taking care of the widows and the orphans. And you know, when James said, this is true religion, to take care of the widows and orphans, he was referring to the law. Very few people realize that. And yes, Paul did talk about those that are widows indeed, that the church should take care of them. So what was a widow indeed? Well, a widow indeed was a widow who had no family to take care of her. And she was too old to marry or was called to separate herself to service to God because she had already been married and she was a widow. And perhaps she was beyond the age of childbearing also. But it seemed that the scripture encourages women who are of childbearing age to marry and raise up godly seed. And I know in the world that's not very highly thought of because the women want to be men and of course they want birth control of their own bodies and so forth. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about what was set forth in God's word for family government. And that's what we're talking about. So the thing is getting back to the inheritance thing, the way the world sets it up is when you die, if you do nothing, the state will decide what happens to your property through probate, which it means, of course, that the courts will take care of it for you. And that means that the judges will appoint their friends as lawyers. And their friends and the judges, they will get as much out of your estate as they can before before they deal out to the heirs the pittance that is left over. If anything is left over, you might even get a bill after they divide it up because they charge so much money for their necessary services that there might not be enough in the estate to pay all the lawyers and the services that they provide through their friends and subcontractors. And that's how it works. But there is a device. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that means that we should take your property out of your own name and transfer it into a trust. Just transfer it into a trust. That's all you have to do. Get a grant deed and get your own grant deed, the one that granted it to your name. Make sure you have a copy of that. And then you just copy that grant deed, except you put yourself as the grantor and you put as the grantee, well, whatever your name, the name family trust, your last name or what you can call it, anything you want. Call it the, if your name was Arthur, you would say the Arthur Family Trust. Or you could even name it after yourself, the Nicholas Arthur Family Trust. And you would grant it to that family trust. And thereby you would create an irrevocable trust. And that will get the property out of your name and out of probate. And then when the father dies, when the patriarch dies, well, he's already named his heir. He names an heir as long as he lives. He's saying, you're the heir. And if he changes his mind later, he says, well, you're the heir and you're not the heir anymore. Cause I can see he's going to carry on. He's going to carry on in righteousness. He's seeking a godly seed. So that's the one I want to be the heir of the family clan. I know he's going to take care of the widows and the orphans. He's going to take care of my wife if I pass away and make sure that she has a good place. Cause see, that's the big gripe for the feminist today is, oh, in the Bible, women have no right of inheritance. Well, that's because they don't understand the law of inheritance. See, because their whole idea, see, when they think inheritance, they think the modern definition of inheritance. You get the property, you divide it up, you sell everything, and you get to spend all the money. Oh no, see, that's not God's family government form of inheritance. That's the world's form of inheritance. And why have they developed that form of inheritance? So that the lawyers and the judges, yes, the lawyers are the judges' good friends, and can divide up the spoil when you die, and then they will deal out a pittance. And of course, they have to pay all the debts of the deceased first. And by the time they get done, like I said, you're lucky if they don't send you a bill. Of course, they usually don't send you a bill because they know that they can't hold you responsible for the bills of a dead man. But believe me, they will try if they can. I mean, if you're gullible enough to pay it, they would send it. But no, usually they're just satisfied to divvy up the properties and whatever's left and give the rest to the state and the pharmaceutical companies and their hospitals who have milked you dry because you have not obeyed God's law and you needed their pharmakia, their witchcraft during the latter years of your life. You see how it works. You're getting the idea here. No, don't hold proper your name. A foolish thing to do because then you're just giving it away. And however, if you don't trust your children, well, it doesn't matter. If they're not seeking a godly seed, then it doesn't matter. They don't deserve your property. They don't deserve any money. The state should take it all. After all, we know how broke the state is. And why give it to children who are just going to squander it on riotous living and the fulfillment of the lusts of their flesh? So there you have a little information on how to deal with inheritance. But seriously, speaking seriously, for those that are listening and are looking for clues, especially young people out there, you young men and women, you got children, and they're learning godliness from you because you're learning godliness and you're practicing it in your life and you're pulling them out of the public fool system. You're not practicing pharmakia and taking drugs anymore. And you just scoff at the Cialis and all the drug commercials on the TV like I do when I see them. It's just appalling. You know what I love is the fast little clip they do at the end of all these commercials, or how they weave all the death threats in with them. You know, all the things that the bad things that the drug is gonna do to you if you take it. Yeah. Of course, the law says they have to tell you all the bad things, but, oh, it's so good, yes. And all those people just looking for a drug. You know, idiots and fools. You poison yourself. You disobey God's law. You know, it's like eating the wormy, the trichina-infested pork and bottom-feeding, sea-crawling fish, you know, the ocean's vacuum cleaners that are vacuuming up all the scum and the defecation off the bottom of the ocean. You know, the bottom feeders, you know, the crabs and the catfish and all those unclean things that God says you shouldn't eat, along with the pork and the cultures that eat dog and drink blood and all the liver and all that stuff that God says you shouldn't eat. And then because you broke his law, well, don't worry. Pharmakia has forgiveness for you. Their brand of forgiveness. Yes, they will take the pain away. Of course, beware. You know, listen to their little disclaimers because they're going to cause you more pain. But don't worry. They've got a drug for that too. And they will just milk you dry in their hospitals and with their pharmakia until the day you die and you have nothing left for your family and the ones you love. Okay, well, it's the end of the hour. We're going into a break here. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned for the news.